Well, as Alan said, it is such an honor to be here in this service and to be associated with this brother, Jim Spinks, who has meant so much to so many of us. I was thinking about the first time I met Jim, at least the first time we had much of a conversation. It was less than a year and a half after I had become a Christian. I was 16 years old. I was at Powell Valley Covenant Church, and Jim Spinks, who I recognized but didn't think that he knew me, came up to me and said, "I would like you to come and preach to a group of men." And I had never preached before to anybody, much less a group of men at the rescue mission in downtown Portland. But Jim asked me if I would do that, so I drove. We drove in a car together. Jim drove, Cal Hess, and I. And Cal was the piano player. And so Jim introduced me to these men who he knew by name because he went down there regularly to minister to these men. And he modeled for me a love for these men. Now, these were homeless people. And this is back before it was cool to reach out to homeless people. And I'm very glad that it is cool to reach out to homeless people. But I mean, this was at a time where going down to the rescue mission was not what you normally did coming from a church in the suburbs. But this is what Jim did, and he loved doing it, and he introduced me to these men. I was pretty much terrified to be standing up in front of these group of guys, but Jim introduced me, and as I said, Cal played the piano. I was nervous. I'm sure Jim and Cal were nervous about what I, you know, might say to these men, but that was really the time that I most got to know Jim early on. That was 38 years ago. The year before Good Shepherd Church began, I had the opportunity of leading two Bible studies. Two different places that Jim was part of. One was a study of the book of Philippians in the home of Carl and Hilma Ekstrom. The other was a study in the attributes of God at Cliff and Jean Vorm's house. Cliff and Jean, remember well coming there, and this was just a men's group. But it included some of the, it included Jim and Cal and Marion Smith and Cliff and some of the men who would become the early leaders of Good Shepherd Community Church, which would start about 6 months later. We were studying A.W. Tozer's The Attributes of God. Norm Norquist was there. You remember that study, Norm? And we just enjoyed a great time together. But always in those meetings, Jim's contribution was thoughtful. He would sometimes get that wry smile on his face as the wheels were turning and he was about to share something. I was telling Stu before the service, you know, I look back at all my conversations with Jim over the years and I remember many of them, and most of them involved the sharing of the gospel when he was telling me, okay, I've got this guy at the rescue mission or somebody that's in jail or somebody who's a student at school or one of the other teachers or a neighbor or somebody I bumped into somewhere. I remember one time, and this was later, this was probably in the late 80s or early 90s, and he came to me about someone who was a Jehovah's Witness, and he wanted to know what to share with him. And this was kind of in the early days of the internet, and so I looked up some things for him and printed these pages out to him, gave them to him. I'll never forget the smile on his face. Wow, you can do that? That is so great. And then all this material on how to share the gospel with Jehovah's Witnesses. And maybe that friend that he was sharing with is here today. I don't know. I hope that you are. I'm sure there are many people in this room that had the gospel shared with them or were with Jim when he was sharing the gospel with other people. Now, that doesn't mean that Jim and I always agreed on everything. However, looking back at it, the majority of times when we disagreed, he was right and I was wrong. But I remember one sermon in particular as a young pastor at Good Shepherd. I was only 22 when the church started. I grew up in a non-Christian home. It wasn't a church home. My dad was a tavern owner. And in this particular sermon at Bartle High School, where we used to meet, and some of you remember that, I used, as a young pastor, an illustration talking about how, you know, there are actually a lot of taverns where people love people more than some people do in churches, and maybe that's why the Strawberry Fields Tavern in Pleasant Home has 100 people on Wednesday nights, and we have 30 people at our prayer meeting. And so Jim took me aside after that and explained to me with a smile on his face why there might have been a little more appropriate way to approach that particular illustration. But I never felt like he was disregarding me. I always felt, as a young pastor, he was on my side, in the right sense of being on my side. Not that I was always right, but in the sense that he believed in me and he wanted to encourage me. And here's the guy that first introduced me to sharing the gospel and preaching God's word to a group of people. And looking back at those conversations, many come to mind. But when I was at, when Alan asked me if I would just choose a passage of Scripture, any passage to share, I thought about several that would be appropriate related to Jim. But let me read this one from Matthew chapter 25. Jesus said, "Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with the 2 talents gained 2 more, but the man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. Then, after a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them." There was the evaluation of their lives. And at least in a preliminary sense, as Jim is now with the Lord, there's been a preliminary assessment anyway. We don't know the timing of the judgment seat of Christ, but of Jim's life. "And the man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I've gained 5 more. And then his master replied," and this is the passage that came to mind when I thought about our brother Jim. "His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Enter into your master's joy. And the man with 2 talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I've gained 2 more. And proving that it's not about how many talents they started with, but how faithful they were with the talents entrusted to them, he says exactly, word for word, the same thing he said to the other man, the one with the 5 talents, and it's so appropriate to, I don't even have to reread the verse because it is repeated. His master replied to him, the second man, and how appropriate this is in thinking of Jim Spinks meeting his master. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. I believe that Jim Spinks has been found faithful. Countless elders' meetings come to mind where he was a model of faithfulness to me. I remember a few times when Jim had the courage, the week after the elders had talked something through and made a decision, Jim had the courage to come back, and one time he told me in advance he was going to do this, and he asked me to pray. He came back, and he opened Scripture, and he read from it, and he shared why he thought we had made the wrong decision. Now, regardless of the point that he was making and who was right and who was wrong, it took a lot of courage for him to do that. And I remember one of those times his voice was shaking as he was sharing it. But that's how faithful he was. That's just how determined he was to do what was right and to honor God's word. Stu and I had talked a couple of times this week, including just before the service, about Jim and our association of Jim with other men, and in particular with Cal Hess and Garland Gabbert, who were his good friends. And he had many other good friends as well. But what did these men share in common? Faithfulness, finishing well, endurance, putting one foot in front of the other, what Eugene Peterson called in a book title, a long obedience in the same direction. This is faithfulness. And there are a few portions of Scripture that make it clear that sometimes those in heaven are allowed to see what's happening down here on earth. I have no idea whether this is one of those times. But if it is, if God is letting Jim observe and hear through the portal what's going on right now, I want to say thank you, Jim, for inviting me to open the Word of God to those men at that rescue mission. Thank you for showing love to those men that night. What an example that was to me as a very young Christian and a very young man. And thank you for hundreds of other acts of faithfulness I saw you do over the next 38 years. And thank you for taking me aside when you disagreed with me. And thank you for having the courage to correct us as elders with the Word of God. You know, we live in a world that's very confused about heroes. There aren't, to my knowledge, any Jim Spinks posters hanging in people's houses. There are no Jim Spinks sweatshirts or mouse pads or cereal boxes or Jim Spinks signature items on eBay. But Jim is a man that God would say of, I have no question, you have been faithful in a little, I will put you over much. And if in God's kingdom on the new earth, he would choose to put me in service under Jim Spinks, I would be honored. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for our brother Jim. Not a perfect man, but a faithful man. Thank you for his example in my life. Thank you for those late night conversations I had with him in parking lots after meetings. Thank you for all those people. He was always wanting to come to know you. No doubt he's already met a number of them there in your presence, and there'll be many more to come. Thank you for a long obedience, Lord, in the same direction. Thank you for a faithful life to which we can say along with you, well done, good and faithful servant. We lift up Jim's family to you. We pray for the comfort and the joy of Jesus, in whose presence our dear brother now stands. Thank you that he has truly entered his master's joy. And all of us who know you, Lord, look forward to being with you, and we look forward to seeing our friend Jim Spinks again, healthy and strong for all eternity, all by the grace of Jesus Christ, in which he lived, in which we live this day. We pray for your presence upon us right now through the remainder of this service in a very special way. May your Holy Spirit touch us and move our hearts. In Jesus' name.